Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Carrie. Didn't Carrie do such a great job with that transition? Meaningful. All right, as everybody makes their way back in, I don't necessarily have a joke today, but I think this is funny. Don't look at me in that tone of voice, Melissa. So, Daniel slept in a lion's den. And Paul and Peter, they slept in a prison. And Jesus, he slept in a storm. And that means that it's okay for you guys, no matter what's going on, to take a nap. It's okay to take a nap. Not for nothing. I mean, maybe this is a segue. I don't know. I don't feel like it is. But Elijah was a prophet, right? You know, I feel like I need to say this. Elijah was a prophet of God, called down fire from heaven, and got so depressed that he wanted to end his own life. Can you walk with God and struggle with depression? Everybody say it. Yes. What was God's answer? He fed him a good meal and he took a nap. And once his flesh was under control, it was after that that he stood in the cave and heard the still small voice. Yes, I will. Thank you. So this is not a segue. So listen, I don't care what you're facing today. I don't care what you're going through. Our emotions have a tendency to create static, right? I'm old school. I'm old like you're old, you know? Stand up there and hold the antenna for grandma while she's watching her shows. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't coming in quite clear, right? Sometimes our emotions, and that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Elijah was called by God, anointed by God, appointed by God. Doesn't mean something's wrong with you, right? It just means that you got to know where your source is at. Amen? And if you allow God to be your provider, if you allow God to be your strength, he will provide what you need to put you in a place physically where it's very clear to you what he's saying to you spiritually. Amen? And that's just free. That's not even, ask Abigail. It's not even in our notes, is it, Abby? No? So shout out to Abigail. She's going to try to follow along with me today. Her parents are watching online, by the way. Let's welcome Abigail's parents. And also Mike and Marnie, they're watching from home today. Some of our elders, you know, with the weather and everything. But I'm assuming that if you're here today, you need to be here. Amen? I'm guessing that the storm on the inside is a lot more daunting than the storm that's going on the outside. Amen? And I got something for you today, all right? So in preparation for where we're going to go, this is the first Sunday in the new year. And I felt like God spoke to me and said, you know what? You just need to get back to the basics. You need to get back to the basics. When you watch, you know, every time that OSU, everybody say, go Pokes. No, I said everybody. We are in Stillwater. Anyways, anytime they have a good season, it's because at the beginning of the season, they go back to the basics. How to run a play, nickel defense, dime defense, how to catch, right? How to avoid penalties. You got to get back to the basics. Amen? Now, the Bible says, how many of you right now, just by a show of hands, and don't be embarrassed. You belong here. We mean that. Hopefully, we've proven it to everyone. And if you're new with us, we'll prove it to you too. You belong before you believe. You belong before you obey. We believe that. We teach that. So shoot up your hands if you're in the middle of a battle in your life right now. Now, I want everybody, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. I want everybody to just look around. We're not here by accident today. And I'm not even really your teacher. It's the Holy Spirit that's your teacher. I just follow along with him. Amen? And that doesn't mean that I'm doing some weird sort of thing where I'm claiming a deity or anything like that. What it means is that I'm going to teach you the word. And then because I'm teaching you the rules of biblical interpretation, you can look at what the word says and look at what I say, and you can see the Holy Spirit interpreting the word, and you can see when it's just me and I mess up. Because we base everything on the word, not a personality. Amen? So I said all that to say this, we're going to get back to basics today, but before we do that, we got to posture our hearts, right? We got to posture our hearts. Why do we posture our hearts, Pastor Will? Well, the reason we posture our hearts is because how many of you rush in? I will, thank you, Lord. How many of you will rush in from work, hard day at work, stressed out, overwhelmed, 10 things on your mind, and walk in to your wife or your husband or your children with the weight of all of that and take that out on them? Don't raise your hand. And if that's you, just look straight ahead. Wives, don't look at your husband. Just look straight ahead. He knows. Are you with me? We posture our hearts. It's the same thing as you taking that 1 minute in the car before you come inside and take off the work hat and give it to God and put on husband, father. Right? Are you with me? That's all we're doing here. We don't just do things by rote. We're intentional with what we do here. And it matters. What we do matters. So we're going to posture our hearts together. So believe with me. Bow your heads. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We do thank you for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you that it is your word that's a lamp unto our feet. It is your word that's a light unto our path. And that it is your spirit that's our teacher today. And he doesn't just bring us information. We're not just talking about theology or theoretical principles. This is revelation. It takes the veil off of eternity. It takes the veil off of ultimate reality, and it shows us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We thank you that your spirit is here to illuminate the word in that way to us, to bring revelation knowledge that makes available transformation in our lives so that we can become the person that you have created and redeemed us to be, because it's being who you have called us to be that brings us our greatest blessing and peace and deliverance and salvation. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So back to the basics. Last week, I shared a little bit about faith. And I'm going to circle back to it because everything in the Christian life is based on faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, you don't have enough faith and God's mad at you. That's not what that means, man. Everybody say it. Read the next verse. The next verse says, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists. And many of us are really good at that. I believe there's a God. Lots of people believe there's a God. But there's a second thing there. We must believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So it's not just that he exists, right? See it there? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's not, again, we a lot of times, because of the knowledge, why do we get so legalistic with God, even unbelievers? Get legalistic with God, feel judged by God. It's because we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's our source and sense of right and wrong. But God is love. So it's different. So we always approach it, did I measure up? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. What kind of faith pleases God? I know that he is, without a doubt, and I know who he is. He's a rewarder, not a judger, not a punisher, a rewarder of those who seek him. See it? So faith is We need faith. Our relationship with God depends on faith. And if we're going to navigate this fallen world, and if we're going to win the battles that we're facing, we fight the good fight of, we lay hold of eternal life. Are you with me? It's a good fight, but it's the fight of faith, right? So if we're going to talk about faith, we can't use this weird ethereal term to just cover, you know, your faith and my faith might look at. We have to, well, Abigail, what's the beginning of every subject? A definition of terms. So let's define faith, okay? So put, I'm going to screw your thinking caps on. Let's do it. Faith is pistis. The word faith is pistis. The Strong's definition of pistis is persuasion, firm persuasion, conviction based upon what you have heard. Here's the Pastor Will definition. It's simply what you believe. I'll prove it with the verse that I just read. The word in the Greek for in the New Testament for faith, it used faith and belief are used interchangeably because English is a weird language. English is a weird language. Come on, we can say it. English is a weird language, man. But the word in the Greek, pistis is faith and pisteo is believe. It's the noun and the verb of the same word, right? So a better translation for faith would be belief. In English, it would be belief and to believe. It means to accept something as truth. Are you with me? We see in Hebrews 11:1, we've talked about this before, but again, we're back to the basics now. We got to get back to the basics. You're in a fight. Listen, anybody ever been in a fight? No, don't raise your hand. I have several, right? Everybody, Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until I punch him in the face, right? And the devil's like that too. You got a plan, right? This is how it's going to work out, and I'm believing God for this, and this is how it's going to happen, and and your life falls apart like a house of cards because your faith was in what you thought God was going to do. It wasn't grounded in his word, right? It was grounded in the subjective, not in the objective, right? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we've talked about this. You got to understand three words in that verse. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith. What is faith? It's a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based on what you've heard. It's simply what you believe. So, now, what you believe is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance is the Greek word hupostasia. Hupo means under. And stasia means a standing or a stance. It means a standing under, a ground, a foundation, a basis. What you believe is the basis for things hoped for. We've been talking about it all Christmas long. The Greek word for hope isn't what we mean. When we say hope, boy, I sure hope so. You gonna get some of that stew back there, Pastor Will? I did. No, I sure hope so. Right? A want, a wish, or desire. But in Greek, the word is elpizomai. When it says things hoped for, it's actually one word in the Greek. The word for that is confident expectation. Expectation. Everybody say expectation. What that teaches us is not what faith is, but what faith does. Faith is the foundation for what you expect. It's the dipstick for where your faith is at. Oh, do you believe in Jesus? Well, are you expecting to go to heaven? Because if you are expecting to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for you, guess what? You're in faith, right? Do you have faith you're gonna be healed? Where if you're not expecting to be healed, then you're not in faith. Are you with me? I'm believing that God's going to provide, but if you're not expecting him to do that, then you're not actually believing. Right? So if your husband tells you he's going to do something, and you go ahead and come up with a backup plan, you ain't believing in him. Now, that's a whole different sermon, but I'm just saying, if you got a backup plan, you're not expecting him to come through for you. That's not faith. That's a platitude. Amen? Because whatever, I guarantee you, whatever you expect, that's what you believe. Are you with me? Why is this important? I'm teaching you how to fight. Everybody just raised their hand and said they had a fight they were going through. I'm teaching you how to win the fight of faith. Getting back to the basics. Amen? So faith is the substance for things hoped for. It's the evidence of things you don't see. So what you believe is the evidence for things you don't see. Right? It's not blind faith. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. They just take it by blind faith. No, faith comes by hearing. We're going to talk about that. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. There's no such thing as blind faith. You believe it because you believe it, because you have an accumulation of knowledge. How many of you, raise your hand if when you before you sat down in your chair, you tested it to see if it could hold your weight? Not a single person in here. Why? Because you believed it would. You expected it to. So you sat down on it. Are you with me? It's not some weird, ethereal idea. Faith works the same, right? Now we do have to, we have to stop and we have to point out a couple of things. There are three kinds of faith mentioned in the Bible, and we can't get them mixed up. There's the faith, right? So Paul said something like that when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The faith encapsulizes the Christian faith, our Christian faith. It's the objective Christian faith that incorporates that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died for our sins. It's the Christian faith, as opposed to the Mormon faith or the Buddhist faith or the Muslim faith. You know, it's the faith, okay? And then there's personal faith, and that is what you believe for, what you are believing for personally. So one is kind of the objective. I have kept the faith. It's objective. The other one is subjective. It's what you believe. Amen? And the third one we'll get into later on in the year, and that's the gift of faith. And that's when the Holy Spirit moves on you in a way to empower you to believe for things that aren't promised to you in the Bible. It's miraculous. The Holy Spirit does it. Amen? The kind of thing where Philip was transported from one place to another. Right? Now the Bible, well, for instance, you know, I said this last week, what God does for some miraculously and instantaneously through the gift of faith, he does that like a dinner bell to show everyone what they can get on their own with their personal faith. Because if it's his will, it's his will. He doesn't go contrary to his will. And so sometimes you will see somebody and they're bing, just fine. And other times you see somebody go through a litany of issues before they recover. Well, why? Well, one was the gift of faith and one was their personal faith. Well, and God keeps his promises, but he's sovereign over the way that he decides that you receive from him, because he is more concerned with your character than he is with your comfort. And the whole point of existence is becoming the person he created and redeemed you to be. That's what being human is. It's not being fallen. It's not being broken. It's being loved by God. The point of being human is being loved by God. You were created to be loved by God. And we reciprocate that. We love him because he first loved us. Are you with me? I'm taking my time today. I'm not in a rush. But that begs the question. We know how important faith is. We know how it works. We know what it is now, right? We said, what is faith? It's a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based on what you have heard, simply what you believe. Right? We know it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. We know that it's impossible to please God without it, because without faith, you can't believe that he is and you can't believe who he is. So then that begs a question, right? Where are my thinkers in here? What's the next question? That begs a question. If faith is so important, what's the next question? Let's put handles on the truth, right? How do I get faith? Where does it come from? How do I build it? How do I use it, right? Wouldn't that be the logical next question? See, we don't teach these things in church. Have faith, brother. I'm praying for you. Good Lord. Now go home. And I'm like, okay, have faith, have faith, have faith. That stinks. Have faith, have faith. Wait, what is faith? Oh, it's a belief. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying, what we call faith a lot of times is just getting people to kind of hope really hard. Right? It's not faith, because we didn't teach people how to develop faith. The next question is how faith comes. You're up against a fight. You need faith. You need to know how to build your faith. You need to know how to feed your faith. You need to know where it comes from. Amen? You got to put a whooping on somebody. You need to know how to punch. You know? You got to know. You can't just get up there. You see them. You see the reels sometimes, you know, where they're like, that's not fighting. That's flailing. You know what I mean? I'm not digressing. I'm telling you, if you don't teach people how to fight, they ain't going to be able to fight. Are you with me? And we're all in the good fight of faith, all of us. Remember the hands, right? You're not here on accident. So, Romans chapter 10. Here we go. Here we go, here we go now. Thank you, Lord. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? Hearing. We would say an accumulation of knowledge. Why did you sit in your chair without checking it? Because you've been here how many times, and you've sat in the chair how many times, and none of them is ever broken. And most of the time when you go to a place and the chair is set up, it doesn't break. And you've got experience in sitting in chairs, right? It's an accumulation of knowledge. You know how it works. You know what it's meant for. You know that if it's set up looking this way, you're not going to turn it around and look the other way, because they're all facing this way. There's an accumulation of knowledge that your faith is based on. Are you with me? And I'm not being simplistic. I'm teaching you the nuts and bolts of faith. Everybody has faith. Why by faith, Pastor Will? Why did it have to be by faith? Because it doesn't matter your age, your size, your level of development. Anyone can have faith. And God meets you where you're at. Well, what about the pygmy in West Guinea? What doesn't the Bible say? God meets you right where you're at. He honors faith. Amen? Now, those of us who have heard the gospel, right? We're responsible to respond. We have heard. It says, have they not heard? They have heard, but they rejected what they heard as truth. We're not talking about unbelief today. Today we're talking about faith. You can't believe beyond actual knowledge. Do you believe in Jesus? I've never even heard of Jesus. Who is that? But do you believe you can be healed? I never even heard that you could be healed. Do you believe that God would provide for you? I've never been even told that. I just thought as long as I tried to be good, maybe I might make it into heaven when I die. You can't believe beyond actual knowledge. That's why we teach and teach and teach and teach, right? So you cannot believe beyond actual knowledge. So if someone says they have faith that they believe, what they're saying to you is that they have heard and they have accepted what they heard as truth. The word pistis, we get our word, the root word for pistis is pytho. So it's pytho, pistis, pisteo. Pytho is where we get our word python from. Yeah, I saw heads tilt. We get the word faith from the word python. Let me illustrate. I believe this, and I'm not letting go of it. Somebody praise God for that. Come on. I have heard and I have embraced that as true. The Bible has way more to say about abandoned beliefs than about unbelief. Hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. You'll see where I'm going. The Holy Spirit's helping us today. Right? How does faith come? Faith comes by an accumulation of knowledge, by hearing and accepting what you heard as truth. Amen? So if you want to know what you're believing, what are you expecting? If you want to change your expectation, what do you have to do? You have to hear. You have to become aware. You have to accumulate knowledge about what the word says about it. And then you have to accept that as the truth. And you'll be in faith. Now, if you go to Facebook and you hear that and you accumulate that knowledge, guess what you're believing? Are you with me? Anybody can go on Instagram or Facebook or Wikipedia or anywhere and write some cool little platitude that comes out of their hurt and experience that seems like wisdom. But the Bible says the wisdom that comes from God is, first of all, peaceable, able to be entreated. Not keyboard warrior in the comments, you don't even know what you're talking about because you have never been and you never gonna be. And no, the wisdom that comes from above is peaceable. I'm sorry. Listen, if I throw a stone, and it, whatever dog barks, that's the dog that the stone hit. I'm sorry. The wisdom that comes from above is, first of all, peaceable, able to be entreated. I want to hear you out. Are you with me? There's a reason he says, first of all, right? Because there is a wisdom in the world, but the Bible says that it's sultry, it's carnal, and it's demonic. There is a wisdom. I guarantee you, sociopaths use it. Psychopaths use it. There is a wisdom that works in the world. Instigate, isolate, escalate is one of those things. Right? Gaslighting is another. There is a wisdom that works, but it's not godly wisdom. It's not spiritual wisdom. It's the wisdom of the world. Are you with me? I don't even know. That's for free. That's not even in my notes. Is it, Abigail? Not there, see? So here's the deal. If someone says they have no faith, what they're saying is either they haven't heard, or they have heard, but they rejected what they heard as truth. Right? Because faith comes, that's how faith comes. I'll prove it to you. We're going to go real quick, because I got to end with my point. The point I'm making is faith comes by hearing, right? An accumulation of knowledge. Look at this now. Woman with the issue of blood, is that where we're starting? Yep. When she heard, everybody say it with me. when she heard. Did she go before she heard? Why? Because she hadn't heard. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, when did she say it? After she heard, she accepted it as truth. If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well. What did Jesus say? And he said to her, daughter, I ain't wrong. Prove me wrong. When she had heard, she said, right? So she heard, she accepted, she embraced what she heard as truth. She acted on that, and Jesus said, woman, he didn't say, I have, yay, the Son of God has healed thee today. No, he was like, hey, your faith did that. Woman, your faith made you whole. Go in peace and be well. Be healed of your affliction. He didn't even say, why don't you grovel for a minute? Why don't you lay there, face down, because I have healed thee. Yea, unto thee I have said. He said, hey, good job. Who touched me? Wait, who touched me? Woman, your faith made you whole. Go, you got it. You got it, girl. Now we're following what? Rules of biblical interpretation. So the next rule, we've done literal meaning. Now what do we do? Courtney, do you know? Abigail? Comparison. Yes, comparison. Good job, Courtney. Let's hear it for Courtney. Comparison, right? You don't just go by one scripture. Everybody say that. You don't just go by one scripture. It's in the mouth of two or three witnesses that you let every word be established. Amen? Am I doing all right? Next witness, the centurion. So when he had heard, say it with me, when he had heard about Jesus, what did he do? He sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When he had heard, he acted on the belief because he had embraced the truth. Amen? So look at this. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, watch it. I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Why? Because he heard and he accepted what he heard as truth and he acted on it. Are you with me? And Jesus marveled. You want to impress Jesus? Listen, Jesus was never impressed with following rules. Never, not one time did you hear Jesus say, oh my God, you checked all the boxes. Woo! But he did marveled. What do you think marveled means? Look up the word marveled in the Greek. You know what it means? Woo! That's what it means. Go look it up. He marveled. People say Jesus didn't laugh. Jesus laughed. He was like, literally like I'm being right now. He was like, oh, wow, I haven't seen great faith like that anywhere here. Whoa. Why? Because he heard. He embraced what he heard as truth, and he acted on it. And Jesus said, woo! Come on. All right. Now here's the crux of the matter. This is where it gets muddy. Could I have another half hour? No, I'm joking. You need two kinds of knowledge to have strong faith. You need two kinds. Marshawn, run up here. I'm gonna teach you something today. Run up here. Take your really good stance. Really good fighting stance, right? You're standing on two legs, right? So if I clip that leg, where are you going?
I'm
Did I hurt your back? I hope I didn't, because I'm on camera. Yeah, you see that? You bigger than me. You stronger than me. You hit me, I'm probably going to go to the ground. But if I take that one leg out from under you, you going down. Why? Because you need knowledge of what God has said, and you need knowledge of his faithfulness to what he has said. To have an anchored faith. Not just what he said, but the fact that he has been faithful to what he has said. That if he says it, I believe it, and that settles it, because he never fails. And anytime it seems like he did, my seamer is broke somehow. There's something he knew that I didn't know. Are you with me? Don't worry, I'm going to prove it to you. Here we go. Let's go to well, Abigail, I'm going to take it sideways, okay? I'm sorry for that. Let's go to Hebrews. It won't be on the screen. It's Hebrews 11. It's in Hebrews 11. I think it's 11, 9 or 10 or 9, 11. It talks about Sarah. It says, by faith, Sarah herself received strength. Receive strength to conceive and was delivered of a child because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, that speaks of a beginning and an end, right? Now, I want you to think about the story now. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen? He didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but he grew strong. Everybody say strong. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that whatever God said, he was able to do. He didn't stagger, he swaggered. Right? Sarah, not so much. She was a little bit more critical. Right? Because she had had the dead womb her whole life. At one point, he had been fertile. She never had been. She had a little bit more to overcome than he did. She had a little bit more evidence than he did. But watch. He was past his time, and so was she. And you know that something changed in him because she saw that God was working in him. I will. Thank you. That's so good, Lord. So many times we can be sidelined by how God is working in somebody else's life and don't understand that we are all individually in relationship with him. And he parents us and nurtures us and keeps his word to us in the way that is best for us. Comparison is a thief. And so here's Abraham. Something changed in Abraham, and she recognized it, and she saw that she couldn't live up to it, so she gave him her handmaiden. And we know that he was healed at that point because Ishmael. God didn't tell him to do that. That was her solution. Be careful that in your faith journey, you don't just take half of God's promise and then supply the rest. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Don't settle for less than everything that he's... Hey, praise God for what he's done. But I want you to notice, she's sitting there now. Look at how she came through. And she said, you know what? God, he said, if you leave your father and mother, you go to the land that I'll take you, I'll prosper you. And we did. And he did. And she's sitting on her porch, you know, looking out over all the cattle. And he said he would make you rich, and he did. And he said he would save you from those kings, and he did. And then even when you were a butthead, he still saved me again and again. And then he healed your body, and you've got a son to show for it. Well, he said it, and he did it, and he said it, and he did it, and he said it, and he did it. And he said it and he did it. And he said it and he did it. And it said she received strength. Why would you need strength to hold on to what you believe? Because your circumstances are telling you, it ain't gonna happen. And you gotta hold on to it, remember? You get that strength from looking at his faithfulness. He keeps his word. And it's not just his faithfulness to you, it's his faithfulness. That's why it's so important. That's why the blue cards are so important. I'm gonna close there. We're gonna land the plane now. I'm gonna close there. You need two kinds of knowledge to hold on through the tough times, to conceive the seed of what God has promised you and to deliver it until it's in your hands. And don't be surprised if God's promise that he gave you comes with some problems. God promises a baby. Those babies, they need their diapers changed, and it comes with responsibility. Don't think that God's going to show up and bless you with something, and then you're not going to have to take responsibility for caring for that blessing. Yeah, come on, praise him for that. Right? But whatever God provides you with, he provides you with the anointing to shepherd. Are you with me? These kids, this spouse, this job, this country. We were born for such a time as this. I don't care what your fight is. I don't care what your fight is. Are you with me? Faithfulness. Knowledge of what he has said and knowledge of his faithfulness. Amen? So I was talking to Stephen this morning. He sort of had a word about the blue cards. And it really struck me because it sort of fit in like a piece that I was missing. And he said, you know, the Holy Spirit's all over him. And he says, you know, a lot of times we have closets in our house and we have front rooms. And I was thinking about the church. And the stage is like the front room. It's like the living room. When you go to visit somebody, you don't even necessarily have to know them to be in the front room. But to see into their closet, you got to know them a little better, right? And people don't typically, like if you come to visit Melissa and I, she's not going to walk you into our bedroom. And she will tell me not to walk you into our bedroom. Are you with me? Only special people get to go there. People that are trusted. People that are, you know what I mean? So the way we get over that in a situation like this, and I didn't digress, we have stacks of those blue cards with praise report after praise report after praise report. And right now, again, we keep confidentiality with those cards, especially if you ask for that, but I do get a general sense every week about what's been turned in and what's going on in the congregation, which is why I started asking about how many people are fighting, because I know, right? We do all that, we save the answered prayer. We save the answered prayer so that we can go back and show you, whether it's you, the person that put in the prayer request, or whether it's the congregation as a whole, look at all of these. We do it every Vision Sunday. These are all the answered prayers, right? But in order for you to let us into that, in order for you to feel like you're not alone when you go back out, right? It's easy to come in here and listen to me and sit under the anointing and have that corporate anointing, man. It invigorates you, it invibes you. But 2 days after this, when the boss is being a jerk and you're tired and you need that nap and that meal that I was talking about, it can be really, really hard, right? So this is what I wanna do. If you are struggling with something today, I don't care what it is, I want you to take a blue card. I want you to write one word on the back of it. I don't need your name. I want one word. One or two words or a phrase. Does that make sense? We're gonna take a minute and I'm gonna pray over you. And while I'm praying, you can go ahead and start grabbing it now. I want you guys to grab blue cards. I want you to write on the back of it. what it is that you're struggling with. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of Jesus over my congregation, over all of our friends and our family and our loved ones. I thank you that you keep us all safe from sickness and disease and accidents and harm, that you watch over us and you protect us and you keep us safe. I thank you that you anoint each and every one of us with revelation knowledge and spiritual understanding and discernment in every area of our lives. That you anoint us to be able to recognize Satan's treachery, to be able to see through his lies and discern his tactics against us. That you give us favor with our teachers, our fellow students, our bosses, our fellow employees, the consumer, the customer, and the situations and circumstances of our days. Thank you for your healing power that's working in our bodies to effect healing and cure. Thank you for the wisdom to walk as you would have us walk. Circumspection in every area of life. We pray for a complete recompense and return for what was stolen from our family and our future this year. We thank you for victory. Now, everybody hold your card up high in the air. Hold it up high in the air. We're gonna do something old Pentecostals used to do back in the day. We're gonna call it done together. And then when you leave today, I want you to drop it in that box. And that is your act of faith that God is on it, that he has heard your prayer, and that he is moving. What is that based on, Pastor Will? Don't tell me you haven't heard, because I'm gonna tell you. You ready? Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. Only one caveat to that. But when you stand praying, forgive. Amen? Why? Because it's by grace, through faith, that we receive from God. And when you won't walk in forgiveness, you plug up the grace that brings you the blessing. It's not about measuring up. It's about living out God's best for you. Amen? So let's declare it out loud. Say it out loud after me. Heavenly Father, I believe I receive an answer to this request, to this problem, to this challenge. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, now stand up on your feet, pray him, praise him like you believe he heard you. Come on, welcome Carrie to the stage.